Well, before we begin our Torah study, I want to bring special greetings to podcast listeners who will join us in the next few days by listening online. And let's welcome listeners from Australia, from Hungary, from France, and from Singapore. Would you give them a warm welcome? And let's pray. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam. Asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Every disciple needs to keep moving forward. And some of you, you're still waiting for your breakthrough. Isn't that true? You're praying for a breakthrough. But some of you got the breakthrough. You've already got it, and all is well with you, and you're just content. Congratulations. Some of you got your breakthrough, and then you discover there's a lot of work associated with what just broke through on your behalf. And all of us need to keep moving forward, and that's why we're starting this year with an important Hebrew word, kadima. We're going to say it a lot. Say it with me, kadima. And it means forward. It's a phrase, a word that Hebrew Israeli soldiers would say to one another when they need to advance and not retreat. Kadima. It's almost like the American cavalry. Charge. And then there's a simple translation in Hebrew that I like a lot. You could use this in Israel. It means, here we go. And there's an element of excitement with kadima. Now, some breakthroughs that you are waiting for require that you take a position of moving forward. And in order to do that, you're going to need two things: spiritual discernment and a heart of sacrifice. Because some of the breakthroughs cannot be obtained without discernment and without that heart. And that's why I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you'll have both. Who's in favor of discernment? Who would like discernment? And who is ready to sacrifice? More want discernment. That's interesting. God can use you for a breakthrough when you have discernment, and he can use you for a breakthrough when you're ready to sacrifice for other people. And that sacrificial love is what Yeshua was referring to when he taught in John 15:13. He said, no one shows greater love than when he lays down his life for his friends. There is a sacrificial love that's willing to give for the sake of others, to spend yourself, even to spend your life. And in John 10:11, Yeshua said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So if you want to be a disciple, Yeshua's words apply to you, to lay down your life in sacrifice, in obedience, in service is part of the calling. Now, you are not called to lay down your life by dying for the sins of mankind. Yeshua did that. Yeshua did that. He did it perfectly. He was the perfect atoning sacrifice, and he accomplished atonement for all who put their trust in him. And so he did it. You don't need to do that, and you can't do that, but he did teach us to lay down our lives. He even went so far in Luke 12:4 to say, I tell you, friends, don't be afraid of those who can kill your body, because after that, they can't do anything else to you. You see, many people are afraid of dying painful deaths. Many people are afraid of pain. How many of you have heard of someone who just died a long, lingering, painful death, and you said, I want to go quickly. I want to go in my sleep. I talked last week to a woman whose husband, an Israeli, died 3 months earlier, just like that. He was sitting around the house with friends. He put his head down and he was gone. He wasn't sick before. There was no problem afterwards. But I tell you, it was a shock to her. So sometimes when you think you figure out how you want to die or how you want others to die, you'll still be shocked if it happens that way. But Yeshua said, don't worry about people who can take your physical life, because he's promised to us eternal life. Your physical body will rise from the dead, and it will be renewed, and it will be prepared for eternity, and you will have life after that. But what you do have to worry about is not having that sacrificial love. That's what you have to be concerned about. And so we want to have hearts of discernment where we can see things well, and we want to have hearts that are ready to sacrifice. And as we begin this new year, we want to move forward. We want more breakthroughs. Do you agree? We want more progress. Is that true? More blessings. Do you want more blessings? And that's why we're starting the new year with that word, Kadima. Say it with me, Kadima. Kadima, 40 days forward. We want to use the first 40 days of 2013 to move forward in our breakthroughs and the breakthroughs of people around us. And I want to encourage you today from Shemot, from Exodus. We begin the first reading this week. And I want to encourage you with the example of a woman who God used for great breakthroughs, because she had discernment and she had a heart that was ready to sacrifice for others. And I have read Shemot so many times every year, but one woman caught my attention this week when I was reading, and very little is spoken about her in the scriptures. And yet great breakthroughs happened because of her, and without her, all of Israel's history would be different. And if you were here last night, don't answer this question. But if you weren't, who was she? Who comes to your mind? Zipporah. Who is Zipporah? Moses' wife. Good answer, but that's not who really caught my attention. Good answer, though. Moses' mother. Absolutely a good answer, but this isn't the woman that got my attention. Miriam. No. But she also is a good example. All of those women are good examples too. I heard several voices at one time, one at a time. Pharaoh's daughter is the one that got my attention. Yeah. Congratulations. But I'm glad for all of you who are aware of these women who had discernment and were willing to sacrifice. But this one in particular got my attention, the daughter of Pharaoh. And many of you know that Pharaoh, her father, the king of Egypt, actually despised the children of Israel. And he saw the children of Israel as a threat to his kingdom. And he decided to order the death of newborn Jewish boys. But Pharaoh's daughter had a different spirit. Say that with me, a different spirit. She had a different spirit, and God used her powerfully. And this is really a sublime teaching from Torah. It teaches us not to judge all of the Egyptians and to lump them all together with Pharaoh. Even those in his household were different from Pharaoh. He had an evil way of looking at things. But Pharaoh's daughter had a heart of compassion. She was a genuine, caring person. And we see this, and Terah singles out Pharaoh's daughter as a woman who God can use. Now, let me remind you about familiar details of the story of Moses. And most of you know the details, so I'm not going to go through the whole story. But you know, he was a little Jewish boy born in Egypt during the time of Pharaoh's edict against the males, the young male children of Israel. And this boy's parents knew that he was special. Now, there's some debate in Jewish circles about what made him special, because the Hebrew says he was beautiful. But there's an old legend about Moses that he was born circumcised, and that's what was special about him, or what marked him as special. I think it's speculation myself. However, he was special. His parents knew that, and they knew he could not survive long because of Pharaoh's edict, but something else was going on, not just the trouble with Pharaoh and the desperation of Moses' parents, but God had a plan. Now, here's what's amazing. God's plan was to take this vulnerable baby boy, this Jewish boy, and to put him into safekeeping where? The most dangerous place on earth, inside the house of Pharaoh. And that tells you something about God. He is not afraid of anything. or anyone, and he will do things that in human terms are ridiculous. They're beyond out of the box. We would say you'd have to be out of your mind to do that. And that's why the foolishness of God is even greater than the wisdom of man. And we see the power of God at work in this way. You see, God's plan is to put Moses inside the household of Pharaoh and then to use him as an adult to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and out from under Pharaoh's control. That's God's plan. Now, what the parents ended up doing is unthinkable. And if you did this, you'd get arrested today. You would lose custody of your children. But they took their baby and they made a basket of bulrushes. They coated it with pitch or tar. And they set them afloat on the river where Pharaoh's daughter would bathe. And they just let them go. Now, I don't know what they were thinking. There's no comment in the scriptures about that. All we see is what happens next. And what happens next is this baby floats towards Pharaoh's daughter, and she and her maidens see this basket, and they retrieve it, they open it up, Pharaoh's daughter looks in, and there's little baby Moses, Moshe. And he starts to cry. Now let's read in Exodus chapter 2 about this moment. It says, when Pharaoh's daughter, verse 6, when she opened the basket, she saw the child, and behold, the baby started crying, and she had compassion on him. Say that with me. She had compassion on him, and she said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. You see, she noticed that this was a Jewish child, and this was the first aspect of her discernment. She saw that this was a child who belonged to a Jewish family. She vocalized it. And sometimes discernment involves keen recognition of important things that are hidden, but other times discernment involves keen recognition of the obvious. Now, you and I are capable of ignoring the obvious, isn't that true? Oh, come on. You know it's true. We all have the ability to turn our heads when we don't want to look, when we don't want to be bothered, when we're too busy or we think, oh, I don't want to get involved in that one. Or don't look now, but there is so-and-so. Hope the street light changes. We all have the capability of hiding ourselves from the things we don't want to get involved in. And Pharaoh's daughter is a normal human being. She could have done the same. She could have looked at that and said, uh-oh, put that basket back in the water. Let it move on. Let it move on. But there's something else that we're seeing in this when she said this is a Jewish child or a child belonging to the Hebrews. Or she was recognizing it's a child. This is not a burden. This is not an inanimate object. This is not the enemy. And she expressed her own decency. She expressed her own care and her concern that she could look at those who her father despised, hated, and viewed as a threat, but she could see them as a person. And it says she had compassion. You see, compassion rose up in her heart. It could have been hatred like her father's heart. It could have been fear. She could have been afraid for herself. She could have said, oh my gosh, don't touch that baby. This is dangerous. In order to understand her situation, I compare it to this. If Hitler had a daughter, and Hitler's daughter came across a Jewish child and decided to hide it and take care of that child, can you imagine her risk? Those people that did stand up for the Jewish people during the Holocaust in Europe, they risked their lives to do it. And in a way, Pharaoh's daughter is putting her own life at risk. And it's important for you and me to take notice of that. That she's expressing compassion. She's expressing human decency and care at a moment when it puts her at risk. And so through this, we see that she really does have a heart of sacrifice. She's willing to do what will cost her something. You see, what spoke louder than the hatred and louder than the fear, which could have gotten a hold of her, but silenced every other thought, was compassion. Now, many of your translations will say pity. How many of you in your English Bibles have pity? And she had pity on him. I don't think that's really the right word. And some say she felt sorry for him. Some of you in your translation, that's what it says right there. She felt sorry. And I don't think that captures it. This word is a special word in Hebrew. It's a little different than what you might think of as compassion, which is formed from rachum, which is the love a mother has for a child. That's not what it's speaking about here. It's not just maternal instincts like, oh, I wanted a baby, there's one. It was something else. The Hebrew behind this says she wanted to spare the child. What rose up in her was that kind of compassion that takes action to protect another person who's vulnerable, that reaches out and spends oneself in order to help someone who cannot help themselves. Pharaoh's daughter wanted to spare the child, not just to pity or feel sorry for him. And this motivation to spare him meant she would have to sacrifice for him. Of course, every parent will sacrifice for their children, but she wasn't the mother. And she took on a role, in a sense, like a foster parent. She took responsibility for the baby's well-being, for his care, and so forth. And she did this knowing he was a Jewish child. So she put herself at risk. So she's got discernment. She's ready to sacrifice. And then at this moment, verse 7 tells us that Miriam, Moses' big sister, shows up. She's been watching what's going on. And she shows up and she boldly asks Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get a wet nurse for you from the Hebrew women so she may nurse the child for you?" So Miriam is identifying herself as someone who's got connections with the Jews. She's a little Jewish girl. And she's saying, "Do you want me to get a woman who can nurse this baby?" That took discernment on Miriam's part. She had to discern the right time, and she had to discern that Pharaoh's daughter had the right attitude. And she had to be willing to sacrifice because she was putting herself at risk. She did not know what Pharaoh's daughter's attitude would be, what her response would be, or even whether she would ask him, "Do you know this baby? Do you know who this baby belongs to?" She had no idea. She could not protect herself, and she didn't try to protect herself. She had a heart of sacrifice too. So she goes in and she asks this, and Pharaoh's daughter agrees. So in fact, both these women, one Egyptian, one Jewish, had discernment. They had a heart of sacrifice. And this is another of those highly nuanced teachings from Torah. You have to pay attention to see these things. That God is teaching us about the equal humanity of the Egyptians and the Jews in this way. Two women are presented before us as having equal discernment and equal hearts of sacrifice, willing to do something for the sake of another, to be used by God for redemptive purposes. Helps us understand that God looks upon the nations of the world with generous eyes. God used both of them for a breakthrough. You might say, "Well, how was it a breakthrough?" I want to tell you, it was a breakthrough for Moses. And here's why. He lived. You know, what could have happened? The current could have caught him. He could have gone down that river, never to be seen again. We'd never have this story. We wouldn't even be reading from this book. We wouldn't be in this synagogue. No one would. Anywhere. You see, it was a breakthrough because he lived. Anytime you survive danger, it's a breakthrough. Anytime you face a life-threatening illness or a breakdown in your life in some way and you make it through, it is a breakthrough. And just to survive, a dangerous moment like this is a cause to give thanks. There's a traditional Jewish blessing when we survive some danger or threat, Birkat HaGomel. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam HaGomel L'Hacha Yavim Tovot Shegmalani Kol Tov. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who bestows good things on sinners and has bestowed on me every goodness. When women give birth, they say this. When people complete a long journey and return home safely, they say this. When people go onto the ocean and they come back alive, they give thanks to God. When they survive an illness that threatened their lives, they say Birkat HaGomel. You see, if God has rescued you, you give thanks to him for his rescue. And you say, God, who is merciful to sinners like me, has rescued me. Because of his mercy, not because of my goodness. Because of his faithfulness, not because of me. He shows me love. If God has rescued you, we rejoice with you. And we thank God for his mercy. Well, this was a breakthrough for all of Israel and for the whole world. Because God had chosen Moses. And he had chosen Moses to be the one who would lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. And he knew how to set things in place at just the right time. Moses had a call on his life to function for God's redemptive purposes. Every disciple of Yeshua, everyone who joins themselves to our Redeemer, has a calling like this too. Not at the same scope and level, but you have a calling to participate in God's redemptive purposes on the face of this earth. Now, you see something at work in Moses' life. Those who have a call to serve God in a redemptive way get connected with other people who will work in redemptive ways for your purposes. Moses was a little child. He hadn't even done anything. He hadn't showed that he had any merit or any goodness, anything special. I mean, he was beautiful. Maybe he was circumcised before he was born. I don't think, well, maybe Pharaoh's daughter, hey, he's a Jewish kid. I'm not sure. But I can tell you this, he had not accomplished anything. He had fulfilled no tasks. And yet the call of God was on his life. And Pharaoh's daughter recognized that call. And she responds by reaching out and making herself useful to God's purposes. Don't judge all the Egyptians by what Pharaoh did and how he thought. Judge them as well by Pharaoh's daughter, who was used by God in order to protect Moses, in order to care for him and to raise him up and to keep him. Moses, I want you to think about, and Joseph, they're like bookends to an important chapter of redemption. Joseph goes down to Egypt. And he becomes prime minister through many complex things, chains of events. And he provides a great deliverance, a great rescue, a great salvation for the children of Israel. And that was one of the ways that God used Egypt to be an instrument of mercy for Israel. But it was also how God was using Israel to be an instrument of mercy for Egypt. You see, the Torah is teaching us that there's reciprocity at work here. When you bless others, you get blessings even from them. When you decide that you are going to be a blessing, God decides to multiply the blessings. Paul got a hold of that in Romans 11, where he's saying to the Romans, to those Italians who accepted Yeshua and put their faith in the God of Israel, he says that how much riches have come to you because of Messiah through the Jewish people. And he says that he's thankful for the Jewish people, and the Italians should be too. And he says when the Jewish people are fully restored to the revelation of Messiah, it will bring even more blessings to all the nations of the world. And this is his recommendation. So you bless Israel. And you use your fullness to bless the Jewish people, and you'll be blessed. He's teaching something. It's reciprocity. that what you receive, you give. And what you give will come back to you as well. There is a reciprocity that's at work here. And Joseph is preserved, and he's actually delivered out of slavery. Israel is saved from famine through Egypt. Well, then Moses is used, how? As a prince of Egypt. And he comes back to Egypt after 40 years in exile. How old is Moses at that point? 80 years old when he starts fulfilling God's highest call in his life. He's been prepared. It took 80 years to get ready. Some of you thought studying for your degree took a long time. Moses' degree, you know, the school of hard knocks, which shepherds go through. Moses' degree took 80 years to attain. And he comes back, and he provides a great deliverance, a great rescue, a great salvation for the children of Israel. You see, Joseph was used by God to preserve the children of Israel by bringing them to Egypt. Say to Egypt with me. To Egypt. And Moses was used by God to preserve the children of Israel by bringing them out of Egypt. Can you say that? Out of Egypt. To Egypt. Let me hear you. To Egypt. Out of Egypt. Out of Egypt. Now, you want to get those right in your life, because there are times when God wants to save you by taking you into a situation. And there are times God wants to save you by bringing you out of a situation. You don't want to get mixed up. You don't want to get lost in false principles. Like, I'm never going to Egypt. I'd rather starve. Well, all of Israel would be gone had they taken that position. Or the other position, I love Egypt. My daddy came from Egypt. My Saba came from Egypt. I'm not leaving Egypt. This is where we Jewish people belong. Egypt has been good for us. God brought us here. We've been here for generations. This is our home. That attitude could get you in trouble too when it's time to leave Egypt. And so you have to discern times and seasons. That's why it's important to have discernment. You can't just rely on principles you thought were absolute. You have to have discernment too. Sometimes you want to pray for someone who needs healing, and you need discernment. Sometimes you want to counsel people who are in a difficult situation. You need discernment. You need a word of knowledge that comes from the Lord that's beyond your wisdom and beyond your experience and beyond the principles you learn. Kadima, let's go forward. You see, Israel is moving forward this way. I like what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 about moving forward, verses 12 and 13. He says, I don't think that I've already attained all that God has for me, or that I am mature. Some English translations say perfect, but the Hebrew idea is probably mature. That's a better word, because the word for perfect simply means mature. He says, I don't think I've obtained it all, that I've reached that perfect maturity, but I press on. Can you say that? I press on. I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua has laid hold of me. When God called you in Messiah, he called you for a purpose, and it takes all the rest of your life to fulfill the purposes that he has called you to. Paul went on, verse 13, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself as someone who has laid hold of everything, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and pressing on to the things that are ahead. Kadima. Forward, forward, kadima, forward, kadima. Say it with me, kadima. Smile to that person next to you. Kadima, encourage them. Forward, forward, don't go back. Don't turn your calendars back and say, oh, I want 2012 again. Some of you just want to burn the 2012 calendars. Oh, but some of you, you're living, you've got these memories of your golden age. You want to go back to that teen year, that very special year when you were younger and had more hair and everything seemed great? Because right now you're an amnesiac and you cannot remember how difficult that time was and the heartbreak and the rejection, the things you couldn't understand and figure out. And you just, oh, if I could only go back to the golden age when I was 16. And your parents are thanking God you're not 16 anymore. The golden age is not backwards. Paul is saying, I don't drive looking in the rearview mirror, looking back. I go forward. Of course, he didn't drive. You get the point. Forward. I press on. I press on. I move forward. I move ahead. Because God's call in your life is a forward call. It's not a backward call, it's a forward call. You're pressing on in a direction, not just to tomorrow and next year, but towards eternity. God has placed eternity in your heart in order to give you like a homing beacon so that you can locate where God is working and what God is doing. And when you see eternity at work, you go there. Kadima. We want to move forward. Every breakthrough brings us to a new place where we have to take steps forward. And those steps often require discernment and sacrifice. And you're going to need discernment. You're going to need sacrifice in your hearts. We want to move forward in the power of blessing this year. We want to move forward in the breakthroughs that God is giving us and that He wants to give those people who we love. And we want to move forward as peacemakers. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking about Christmas. Some of you remember this. I was trying to encourage you to not enter into combative conversations with people. Some of you did it, thank you. Some of you didn't. But I understood something, that God wants to use us as agents of healing and respect and helping people connect. And if we want people to respect us and our understanding and our traditions, we have to reciprocate. We have to give respect to people and their traditions, not demean them, not misunderstand them. And then the following week, last weekend, I was speaking about the breakthroughs that come to peacemakers and how some breakthroughs are unavailable to anyone until the peacemaker does his work. And I was asking you, open your heart to be a peacemaker. Now, this is what I did not tell you last week. I'll tell you this week. Yeshua said, blessed are the peacemakers. Isn't that true? But peacemakers are used by God to go into troubled situations. I didn't make that clear. Troubled situations. If everything is fine, it's all copacetic and hunky-dory, who needs a peacemaker? Nobody. All is good. You know when you need a peacemaker? When there's trouble in paradise. When people are at odds with each other. That's when you need a peacemaker. When people misunderstand each other, when people hide in their own corners and want to do battle, that's when you need a peacemaker. And God's looking for peacemakers. So I'll tell you the truth for 2013. He's looking for people who are not afraid of going into difficult situations in order to bring peace. Not to smooth things over, but to bring reconciliation, shalom. Not just the ceasefire, but the end of hostility and the beginning of real love. And so maybe some of you, you know, having heard this, you're thinking, I'm not sure the peacemaker's all that blessed. I'm not sure I want to be part of that. But I'll tell you, they are blessed. And the blessings that come to the peacemakers include protection and rescuing. As you make peace for others, God will surround you with those who bring peace to you. As you do good, and you forgive others so that you can be at peace with all people, you know what? Other people will forgive you, and you'll be released. As you let go of the hostilities and stop wanting to punish people and get even with people, you know what? people will stop wanting to punish you and get even with you. And as you stop accusing everyone else of being self-righteous, you get delivered of your own self-righteousness. Of course, some of you say, well, I'm not self-righteous. They're just wrong. And they're always wrong. You know, we can trust in ourselves too much. Better to take that more humble position. Don't count yourself as having attained it all. Don't even think of yourself as mature. Press on. Press on. Kadima, 40 days forward. Starting from January 1st, the first 40 days of 2013, we want to be forward. And we know this year is going to be a year of freedom and a year of healing and a year of provision for you. And I want you to move forward in your breakthroughs. We've seen some powerful breakthroughs during the last 40 days of good news. Healings have taken place. People have gotten new jobs. Anybody in the room who got a new job in the last 40 days? Could you raise your hand higher? Several, one over here, one over here. Congratulations. Now, I do have to tell you, I'm going to rat on a few people. Some of the folks here, dear friends, they don't want to tell their good news until it's behind them. In other words, they're thinking, well, yes, it's good news, but it's not completely done. Yes, I'm buying that house, but the mortgage hasn't been approved. Yes, I got that job, but I haven't started yet. And I want to tell you, start giving thanks now. Don't be afraid you're going to jinx it. That's superstition. Start giving thanks now and ask people to pray about the things that are still ahead. Then they'll join with you and you'll go through more smoothly than you would otherwise. We prayed for people to get new homes. A number of you have gotten new homes. We prayed for provision. We prayed for miracle babies. There have been conceptions, babies born, faith renewed, new beginnings in the life of faith, and we're ready to move forward. And you know, here we go. Here we go. Now, some people got their breakthroughs during the 40 days of good news, and you're enjoying the full measure of the breakthrough right now, and you're sort of content and happy. You can't really understand why anybody else, everybody isn't as content as you are. I just want to say mazel tov, congratulations. And some people, you got your breakthroughs, and then you discovered that with the breakthrough comes a whole lot of work. Some of you got new jobs. You started the job. It's like, oh, my gosh. This is work. I'll test some of you that the spirit of Maynard G. Krebs comes on you. How many of you remember Maynard G. Krebs? Good. This dates us. This is an exclusive club that remembers Dobie Gillis. Valentina and Yevgeny Belisov, the leaders of our Russian ministry, one of our important mercy ministries, they sold their house finally. It took a long time and a lot of prayer. And many of you are trying to sell your house. You know, it's a miracle just to find someone who will pay and can pay. And then they found a new home in Mandarin. They've moved in, and it's a breakthrough. But now they got a lot of work to do, and they're looking at the house. It's like, well, I've got to fix this, got to fix that. Every breakthrough requires steps forward. Some people got breakthroughs, and now you're finding that there's a lot that's in front of you. It reminded me of an experience that we had, close to 30 years ago. In our group was a young woman, a broadcaster, who got pregnant out of wedlock, and we all decided we were going to stand with her. It was at a time when people facing such troubles were actively seeking abortions, even believers, in order to avoid embarrassment. And we thought better to work through it. And so we decided as a group we would stand with this woman. It was harder for her parents. And we decided to stand with her, and many people sacrificed and helped her. And you know what? We had this attitude, if we can get her through these 9 months, it'll all be done. And then the baby was born. And now the baby needs to be nursed while the mother's working. And a woman who had another child, you know, a newborn, says, I'll be a wet nurse for this child. And this is a single working mom. She needs extra care. And so it wasn't that the birth was the end. It was the beginning. Now some of you folks, you prayed for babies. And you've conceived and you've had your breakthrough. You thought. It is a breakthrough. In some cases, miraculous. But let me tell you, you still got to spend 9 months carrying that baby. And at the end of the 9 months, vacation. What happens? What's the last part? Labor. And then you think, oh, then it's over. Oh, no. That's when the nights without sleep, days and weeks without rest begin. And the truth is decades of effort. If you're sitting next to one of your kids, no matter how old they are, just look at them and say, you are a lot of work. You are a lot of work, but you're worth it. You're worth it. But I tell you, when someone just wants a baby, they're praying, oh, give me the breakthrough that I'd get pregnant. That is a breakthrough. But some of you get breakthroughs like this. You get new homes. It's a breakthrough. But it opens up a whole new life of effort. You get new jobs. It's a breakthrough. But it's a whole new kind of work. You conceive. Oh, there's a lot ahead. And so remember this. That's why you need to keep moving forward, why you have to keep saying kadima to yourself, because when you get your breakthrough, it does bring you into a new situation, but from that new situation, you've got to keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. You cannot say, I only wanted to conceive. I only wanted a paycheck or a title. You have to earn it and work for it. I only wanted the house. I didn't want the roof that leaks. Now, some people got breakthroughs, but you don't even know it yet. You called out to God, and He answered you, but you haven't heard the answer in your spirit. And your eyes may not recognize what has happened because you don't have all the information yet. Some of you are experiencing breakthroughs like the ones that are described in Isaiah 65, verse 24. Some of you may want to write this down. Isaiah 65, verse 24. Before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear. Or here's another translation. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they're still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. And sometimes when you're praying and God's already answered you, you pray as if He hasn't even heard. And He's answered even though you haven't even heard. And then later on, you'll discover that the answer came earlier. Anya and Eric, remember when God answered you about a child and you were pregnant before you knew it? Same thing happened with Kathy Dexter House recently, right? Pregnant before she knew it. Upset. Don't know if I can keep going on. What's going on? Oh, guess what? You're pregnant. Sometimes God answers you and you find out later. Or it could be like the breakthrough that's described by the angel who came to Daniel when he was fasting for 21 days. It's in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. The angel says, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard." Say that with me. Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the spiritual prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days, and then Michael, one of the chief angels, came to help me because I was detained there with a spiritual prince over Persia. Sometimes God has sent you everything you need for the victory, but there's a battle that has to be completed. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep moving forward. Keep fasting. Don't give up. Well, I want to ask you, have you thought about your next steps? Have you thought about how you want to move forward in these first 40 days of 2013? I want to especially speak to people who are tempted to give in or to give up or to go passive and powerless. I want you to ask yourself this question. Can I take a step forward? And whatever you're tempted to do when you're tempted to give up or give in or to act in a passive way, to just consider yourself powerless, just stop, catch yourself, and say, I want to take a step forward. I want to take a step forward. One person told me recently they fell into some despair last year. A lot of things were crumbling around them. They ended up losing most of what was important to them, and that's when the person realized that some old bad habits had returned. And for that person, it was drinking and smoking. And that person said to me, I didn't just drink socially, I drank too much. I drank to get away from my sorrows, but it pulled me away from God. So that person had to ask this question, what's my next step? And I'll tell you what they told me. They said, the next step was Coca-Cola at the New Year's party. That simple. They said to me, I was at this party, nobody really knew who I was, and there was a lot of beer, which I like. And I thought, I can drink and drink, but I don't want to. You see, that person said to me, I decided I wanted to go forward with God, I wanted to get things restored to me, and so they decided to be clean. And they were celebrating with me that it's been over 30 days they've been clean. And they're experiencing progress, and better than being clean, not just being clean, they're getting closer to God, their hope is being restored, they begin to see that there's a future in front of them. They're not just trying to anesthetize themselves from the pain, they're trying to move ahead. And so I rejoice with my friend, and I ask you this question, what do you have to leave behind? What can you do to take a step forward? And let me give you just four simple things. Very simple practices. Number one, don't give in to fear. Everybody who needs to move forward is going to face fear of some kind. Maybe this isn't going to work, or maybe my troubles are too big. And the second thing is, don't only perceive the threats. When you're in a difficult situation, it's easy to focus only on the threats to you and not the opportunities that are in front of you. The third thing is, let God's discernment give you eyes to see from His perspective. If you want real breakthroughs and you want to go forward, you want to see things the way God sees things, not the way your natural mind looks at things, not with the wisdom you normally have, but with God's wisdom. You need words of knowledge. You need discernment. You need keen insight from the Lord. And I'm praying for everyone who wants to be able to see things from God's perspective. You find yourself in a difficult situation, you say, God, how do you see it? He might say, this looks great. Great opportunity for you. And you might say, well, I think this looked terrible. So why do you think it looks great? And he'll show you. You see, from this position, you can do so much. And then the fourth thing, let God's sacrificial love fill your heart and make you willing to sacrifice for others. Often, during times of difficulty, people lose their generosity. And they get overtaken by sort of a hoarding spirit that wants them to lay hold of their meager little insufficiencies and hold on to them as if this is all they're ever going to have. And when you enter into God's generosity and God's economy, when you say, Lord, I'm going to give my whole tithe, I'm going to give offerings, I'm going to give my time, I'm going to serve, you know what? You're rejecting that hoarding spirit, that spirit of insufficiency and lack. And you're saying, no, I serve God Almighty. I serve God Adonai Yireh, the Lord who sees and the Lord who provides. I serve a God who laid down his life for me, who gave the life of his son Yeshua as a sacrifice for me. I didn't deserve it. He laid down his life before I was even born. I did not merit such favor. I didn't earn it. And he laid down his life because he anticipated my need. And he sacrificed for me. And then he rose from the dead to show what happens to those who live lives of sacrifice and obedience. There's another power at work in the universe. It's called resurrection. There's another power that can take what looks lifeless and revive it. And Yeshua rising from the dead was a demonstration of God's victory over the power of sin and death that is meant to influence our understanding of this present era, so that we could understand that even if things have gotten really tough, God can raise us back up. Even if we've fallen, he can come and he can pick us back up. So mech no flim, he lifts up the falling. Parofei cholim, he heals the sick. No matter what condition you found yourself in, God is looking for you. He's watching for you, and he wants to use you in 2013. And so put off that hoarding spirit. Put off that spirit of lack and insufficiency and enter into the joy of the Lord. And you start walking forward in that. And God says, test me in this. He'll do more than you're asking and more than you're imagining. And so with that kind of attitude, your heart will be filled with sacrificial love and you'll be willing to give in anticipation of God's generosity. Not in fear, not seeing threats, but seeing opportunities. And God will use you and he will provide for you and you will move forward during this year. Well, during this season, these 40 days we're in, the first 40 days of 2013, we're going to continue to have opportunities for prayer, and I want to invite some people down to pray. Gene and Janine Decker, I want to invite you down. John and Kathy Schutz, will you come down? Just back from Israel. I greeted them this morning. Welcome back to the unholy land. John Slayton, Tom and Dee Crow, Rick Gray, can you all come down? And there are some of you who are members in the congregation, you haven't been called before, and you want to be called down to pray for others, just let me know. Just fill out a note and say, I want to be called by you when you want to pray for people. I want to do this. And I can tell you, these are people I know. They're members of our congregation, and I can trust them to pray for you and for anyone in a caring and a sensitive way and with faith, with real faith in God. And we're seeing something happen as people come and receive prayer. You know what? God does start breaking through. Now, some of you, you're going to have to get prayer for 8 weeks, starting, you know, way back when. And don't give up. Just keep praying. Some of you, you come down, someone prays for you, and the Holy Spirit says, go to the next one, let them pray too. So do that. I mean, you can go down the line. Next, next, next. And these people, every one of them will pray, and each one of them will be used in a different way to pray for you, and then you'll see how God, by the Holy Spirit, works through different people in different ways, but in a common way as well. So if you've been waiting to pray, to ask someone to pray for you, today is a good day to start and to come down and say, would you pray for me? I need a breakthrough. Would you pray for me? I need healing. I need a job. I need provision. I need reconciliation, my relationships, my marriage, whatever it is that you need help with, don't be reluctant to ask. Or maybe there's someone in your family who needs a breakthrough and you're just coming down, you want someone to join with you in praying for them. You see, we believe that much of what God accomplishes, he accomplishes through prayer. When we address him and we talk to him and he answers us, then we can give thanks to him and we know what happened. And so we're going to close the service with Aaron's blessing. And after that, I want you to come down, all of you who want prayer, come down, let others stand with you and pray with you. Please rise. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Come down and receive prayer.